Blog Talk Radio.
Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Monsters, Jimmy, and Collie Green.
Collie Green. Mm-hmm. Damn Collie right Green. She is. Damn right.
Right.
You know, there's no love for mustard greens anymore. Everyone talks about collard greens. Like, there's so many songs. Well, what about mustard? Like, no one likes mustard greens? I fuck with mustard greens.
Collie greens are the hipster of greens. So, that's just how that works.
Mustard greens are bomb, though.
Like that. They are.
So bomb. Anyway, what up, world, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Meat and Potatoes. Don't know why I said it like that.
Hey, you know why? Because you're excited. Because we are the officially iTunes store, I guess you could say, accredited Meat and Potatoes show.
There it is. I was going to say that later. But yeah, he let the cat out the bag. Rumors are true. Yeah. Your baby mama wasn't lying. The mailman wasn't spreading gossip. We are not.
And the milkman was telling the truth. Yes.
Are there still milkmen?
No, they don't exist.
Okay. Okay, I didn't know it. Maybe somewhere in like Kentucky. But anyway, yeah, we are on iTunes. Go subscribe. Type in meat and potatoes, not potatoes, but potatoes. Go on subscribe.
Potatoes is Twitter.
That is Twitter. We're really excited. Next up is YouTube. Hopefully we can get our episodes on there. And, yeah, just introduce everyone to this incredible podcast that we've been doing for almost 2 years. It'll actually
2 years.
It'll be 2 years in, like I don't know, but soon.
March, right?
We did in
I
December.
Think March.
Not December.
No.
Yeah, our
shit,
first
yeah.
Was December 2013.
Oh, my God, yeah, this has been 2 years. Like, and this all started from an idea at a house party. Real
shit.
See,
kid, you can
you
make
know
your
it,
dreams
right.
come
I'm,
true, too.
Well, before we start, can I tell the story of how Meat and Potatoes started? Is that okay? Can I do that?
Sure. We ain't talking about nothing else. Right. Well, we are eventually, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, none of y'all motherfuckers listen anyway, so... Me and Dre have been knowing each other since 2012. You know, we've always been hella cool. And one day we were at a mutual friend's house, one of our best friends, actually. And we were just sitting around drinking our Hennessy, you know, drink of choice. And
I wasn't drinking Henny, Mom. I was drinking water, I swear.
Okay, with Hennessy attached. So we were talking and whatnot, and I was like, man, I want to do a sports podcast. And Dre was like, me too. Several, what was it? We went through so many names. The Dre and Jay Experience, Dre J.
Sports
like
Corner.
So many different names. Sports Corner, Sports Talk, Sports on Sports. You know, any name you could think of that was corny. Then we just settled on Meat and Potatoes. And why did we choose Meat and Potatoes, Dre? Do you remember why?
I do. Meat and potatoes, because the phrase "we're meat and potatoes kind of guy" basically references someone that is no frills, no BS, straight to the point, and that's how our sports opinions are. No frills, no BS. We don't sugarcoat it. We give it to you real. And so it's a nice little double entendre, a nice little play on words, and it's unique. What sports podcast show, you know, where the title is a food? So,
right. I mean, so what, motherfuckers think whether we cook? I mean, we can't cook. Because if you ever had Dre's wings, you're fucking missing out. If you ever had one of my steaks,
I mean,
you're fucking missing out. So,
I must be missing out, man, because what the hell?
Man, I mean, if you buy the Power House, I'll cook it, bro. Just let me know. That's an open invite. Anybody wants a good steak, you know, anybody else are charged $25 to cook the steak. You know, this is not Ruth's Chris quality.
There you go. You got it.
But it's not Sizzler either. So we're going to go with that.
Well, that's good, because if it was Sizzler, then I'd be like, no.
You will be wasting your money and your time. So, but anyway, so we have a show to do still, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
Again, we are on iTunes. Check us out. Feels great to say that. So blessed. All right. But for those of you that are listening for the first time, you don't know the host. I'm Andre Brown. That's John Ralph Alexander, a.k.a.?
A.k.a. Mr. Sunday Night, a.k.a. Mr. Any Night of the Week, a.k.a. Mr. St. Louis, a.k.a. Mr. Band-Aid Wearing, Jet Flying, Woman Stealing, Panty Dropping, Limousine Riding, High Wheel Dealing, Son of a Gun, a.k.a. the second greatest fucking podcast host of all time, behind my man Dre to my right.
Yes, I'm actually literally to his right. Or left,
literally. Left, because
yeah.
I'm east of
you.
Yeah,
it's left, because you're, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in St. Louis. For those who don't know, I'm in St. Louis for business. So, yeah, if you guys care. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they do. All right, so, but we do have a fun show. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about undefeated streaks. Even if you're a casual sports fan, you know that the Warriors started out 25-0, obviously lost to the Bucks this past weekend. Ronda Rousey, one of the most dominant UFC fighters ever, lost her match to Holly Holm, I believe, in early November. And then you have a Floyd Mayweather, 49-0, ended his career undefeated. Only one other fighter did that besides him, Rocky Marciano. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, he's undefeated, but did he fight anybody? And so what we're here to debate, talk about, is it better to go undefeated, or is it better to have that rival, that foil, that person that keeps knocking you off, and you have to find a way to somehow overcome that? So, sir, the floor is yours. Well, let's say Floyd Mayweather. Would you have more respect for his legacy, for him as a boxer, if he had a rival like Manny Pacquiao had with Juan Manuel Marquez?
I will think, let's just say that Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. Well, the first answer to your question, I think a rivalry is a lot better than an undefeated streak, because if you have an undefeated streak, you know how the story goes. You know how the story ends. You know they're gonna end with a win. Oh, it's a dynasty. I don't like dynasties like that, mainly because the teams I'm fans of are not dynasties except for the Dodgers, and that's even in question now. But anyway, so
USC. They had a dynasty in the early 2000s.
Yeah. They did. You know, this is very true. But to answer your question, I think that I would respect Mayweather's career a lot better if, let's say, he was like, what is he, 49-0, right? 48-0 or whatever. If he was like 46-2, but, you know, he had, or 46-1 or something like that, and him and Pacquiao had a best of three series, and they both split the series so far, and they're both of their last career fights are against each other, once and for all, winner takes all, this is it. You know, I would respect his career a lot more than being 49-0, because yes, Floyd Mayweather is good. You know, he's very good. But Floyd Mayweather has won a lot of boxing matches. He has not won a lot of fights. There's a difference. So,
you know what? Really, I didn't really care if he lost or not. I wanted to see him actually fight someone when he should have fought them. And so I'm going to veer off just a little bit. When we talk about boxing, one thing that's really great about boxing is that you have two fighters that may be undefeated in their prime that are destined for a collision course. That's what you got with Oscar De La Hoya and Felix Trinidad. That's what you got with Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. That's what you got back in the day. And Floyd introduced a new I don't want to say new, but he made it about the money. If the money's not right, if he's not being tested, I'm not going to do it. He should have fought Mosley in 2000, not in 2010. He should have fought Pacquiao in 2010, not in 2015. But with that being said,
he was smart.
He was smart, but I call it being scared. When you're in a combat sport,
agreed.
Dog, go. You're the best. Then go prove it. That's what Ali did. De La Hoya did.
That's what Ronda Rousey did. Right.
Exactly. She ended up getting knocked out, but that happened.
Same. Right, and even though you may have gotten knocked down, you may have got your ass beat, that doesn't necessarily taint your career. It doesn't taint your legacy. Like, that's why I never care for undefeated streaks, because you're still going to be who you are, unless you're like Tiger Woods, who just fucking fell off the damn earth. But even then, like, it still doesn't take away from the golfer that he was.
Right.
The most dominant golfer in history. So.
Yeah. But I'm going to, just because I want to, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to tell you why being undefeated is so great, and it's something that people hate, because a lot of people subconsciously, when they watch sports, you already see athletes as superhuman to a certain effect. They can hit harder than you can. They can shoot better than you. They can throw better than you. They can tackle better than you. They can hit a tennis ball better than you. Hell, they can ride a horse better than you, even though I don't think jockeys are athletes. So we look at them and we say, man, they do all these things so great. And we give them all this adulation and praise. Then on top of that, now you don't lose. So you're already great as it is, and now you don't lose. So now you think you're better than me because you don't lose. So now we have this subconscious disdain for undefeated. You know, people have four teams that go undefeated. And, yes, Floyd really may not have faced too many. I mean, maybe Cotto, maybe. Ricky Hatton when he was somebody, maybe.
Who's Ricky Hatton?
De La Hoya toward the end of his career. But to go 49 matches when at any given moment you can be knocked out, ask Manny Pacquiao, and to escape without a blemish, that's highly impressive. Now, I'll just speak for that on the undefeated side. But I think it's great to have a foil. I think the best thing that happened to Ronda Rousey, well, not getting hit like that, because word on the street is her teeth are still loose from that kick, and she said she can't even bite into an apple right now. So not that.
Yeah.
But the best thing to happen to her was the loss. Because now we're not searching, like, damn, who can beat Ronda? Who can even last a minute?
Right. We found that motherfucker who did it.
Right.
So
now it's.
And that's a motherfucker who don't know
back.
Jay-Z's wife's name. I mean, what was it? Jay-Z? Yeah. Don't know Jay-Z's
wife's
name.
She didn't know who Beyonce. Yeah, Holly Holm didn't know what Beyonce's name was.
Oh, her name's Beyonce? Oh, okay.
Which I found hilarious. Because I'm pretty sure she was being really honest. But,
right.
You know, so now we have that. Now we have that foil. That's what Ali had with Frazier. But I'm not considering to say that Mayweather's better than Ali because he didn't lose. First of all, Ali was out of the sport for 3 years because he was in prison. And then he fought great – I mean, Sonny Liston and the Spinks brothers and Frazier and Foreman. So he fought people. And when you fight other great fighters, when you play other people as great as you, you're going to lose. So now let's go to the Warriors because, obviously, they clearly weren't going to go undefeated.
No. Whoever thought that shit is dumb. Now, they might win 70. They for sure might win 70. But
I've heard a record thrown out there about 77-5. People
no,
think they're going to lose
no.
single-digit games.
Whoa. If they do that shit, they might and they will win the championship. This might can be some 90s bullshit, bro.
I don't think they will. But
I don't think they will either,
But staying with the theme, I think they need a foil. And everyone wants it so badly to be the Clippers. The Clippers, Clippers, in my opinion, I'm sorry, I know this is your team, and I'm not talking like this as a Laker fan, but the Clippers, to me, just aren't mentally tough enough. They really
not
aren't. I know they don't like the Warriors at all. You know, they both are in Cali. They're both young players. But I just don't see it with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. With Chris Paul and Blake, they whine too much. Blake isn't assertive enough in the fourth. So I think they're still looking for that foil personally. Could it be the Spurs? Maybe. With Kawhi and LaMarcus being there for the next maybe four to six years. But they need that because the Bulls had that. The Bulls had the Knicks, who were there for the Lakers had the Kings and the Blazers for a while.
Right.
So
mainly the Kings though. They were thousands, so yeah.
Oh yeah. The Kings in the early 2000s.
Those were good times.
Great.
Those were good times.
Great. It's horrible that they suck now, but yeah, I'd like your Clippers to be the Royals. I would, but I don't see it happening.
Right. But I think that when it comes to a four, I do think that you're right. Even in football, you know, the whole entire NFC East is everybody's foil. You know, like for years and years, they were just like the dominant division in football, you know? And they just always had something out for each other. But when it came to the Patriots, who were and still are a very dominant football team, you know, who was their foil? What, the Giants?
Yeah.
I guess you could say the Giants. I guess you could say the Giants, huh? Because they beat them in two Super Bowls.
They did.
And the team who was supposed to beat them again couldn't get the job done. Because throwing on second and one. But anyway, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Panthers are 13-0. They have three games to go. Are they going
under? They're going for it. They got to. But
well, I know they're
going to
go
Tampa.
For it. Do you think they're
going
to be
absolutely
16-0?
Yes, they play Tampa. And I think they play Atlanta again and
they do.
New Orleans.
Tampa.
New Orleans and Atlanta.
No, they don't play New
Orleans.
They're done with New Orleans.
Okay, that's all right.
It's Atlanta again, Tampa, and the Giants.
Then it might go 50. Like the way that the Giants been playing, the way ODB's been playing, and the way JPP's been getting some quarterbacks, that is a decent possibility. But I think they might go 16-0. They are not winning the Super Bowl, as bad as I want them to. Like they're gonna make it to the Super Bowl, but after the Patriots go back to back, and I think this is when. Belichick,
you think
like
the Patriots are
going to
win the whole thing?
I think so. Actually, if they can get Edelman back, they might do it. And this is somebody. This is coming from somebody who hates the Patriots. But if the Patriots don't win, I mean, it's going to be the Patriots and the Panthers for sure. So,
I'll say if the Panthers go 16-0, no, they won't win the whole thing. It's too much of a physical game to hold, to be that mentally tough and strong, to keep that focus and that edge throughout the playoffs when you're playing teams, you know, that are now studying you. So, I mean, obviously they study them solely during the week, but, you know, when you can really zero in on a team, I feel the Panthers go 15-1, 14-2. I feel they will win.
Right.
And just because, now they can have that pressure of, okay, what if we lose, you know? If we lose during the regular season, we can still come back. We lose in the playoffs.
Right.
We're going home.
Going right.
Right. Now we won all those games. What the hell does it mean?
Exactly.
I don't want the Patriots to win. I really don't think they will. And you know what? I'm going
to
say it.
To be honest,
they're not going
to
win it. I hate the Patriots. I hate Tom Brady. I hate Bill Belichick. And those are actually only two people that are really relevant on the team. Everyone else, I don't really care. Oh, and Danny Amendola. Goddamn traitor.
Well,
he's
not
going to leave the Rams for the Patriots.
Yeah, I was about to say. He's mad.
I would have done the same thing.
But no, but here's the thing, though. The reason why
I
really don't.
Oh, and real quickly, I hate Rob Gronkowski, too. Sorry, had to say it. Go ahead.
He's like the epitome of white privilege. But anyway, so the thing is that one thing I will say is that I kind of hope the Panthers don't go undefeated, because I just don't want to see the fucking 72 Dolphins on ESPN talking about.
Oh my god!
You know, especially fucking Mercury Morris.
Mercury Morris.
Ooh, let it go.
Oh my god, he's the only guy. He looks like this. He's incredibly annoying. He's the only person that's alive from that team that cares this much about it.
Oh, and Larry Zonka. Isn't Larry Zonka still alive?
No, I know, but I'm saying he's the only person alive from that team that cares.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure whenever the last undefeated team loses, they all pop corks and have, you know. But Mercury,
Mercury Morris.
You know, don't call me when you're on
team.
My neighborhood. Call me when you're on my block.
Shut the fuck up. This is dumb ass. And by the way, your Lakers are winning by 19 right now.
I want to talk about the same team
who ended the Warriors streak. So they're going to lose to a 3-21 team.
Hey.
So.
Over 3-21? I thought it was 3-20. Damn, sounds worse than say like that. I wanted to talk about that on the show. Go Lakers. And I would just like to say, first of all, as a Laker fan, you hear the Clippers fan over there watching the game. I would like to say thank you, Kobe, and thank you, Byron Scott, for finally letting the kids play. Finally letting D'Angelo Russell play. Julius Randle, just let them play. Kobe is not winning a ring this year. You said what?
That was funny when he benched him. That's what was
hilarious. Well, I thought that was a smart move, though. And the reason I liked it is because now you're bringing them off the bench to face a lesser unit so they can get their confidence level up, bring them in the fourth quarter, and now there's no trepidation. Now they're assertive. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Keep losing so we can get the first pick, draft Ben Simmons.
Get Raph
Simmons. Who I don't know how that's going to work because him and Julius Randle really have similar games, sort of. Except
Ben Simmons bigger?
So. He's taller.
Yeah.
Like, so Julius Randle's like 6'9", 250. Simmons is like 6'9", 240. And a front court with those two? Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Literally. And then you have Roy Hibbert in the middle. And then
who? Who's Roy Hibbert? I don't know who that is. Is he a basketball player?
He's your starting center, I believe.
Really? I've never heard of this guy.
Yeah.
What does he do?
Yeah, he was a pro.
What is he supposed to do on the basketball floor?
Be big and get in people's way and be a great defender.
Does he do that?
I don't fucking know. I like this man.
You're watching the game.
I fucking center came and shoot a damn free throw. Yo, make the fucking net. So, fuck, I know about
anyway.
Him. Yeah.
Well, you're watching the game. Yeah. Talking about you're not Lakers, but you're watching.
I'm not.
The game.
I'm watching sports. Well, actually, I'm watching sports in it. I'm in fucking St. Louis. I can't have access to a Laker or a Clipper game. So,
then how are you watching the Laker game?
I'm not watching the Laker game. I'm watching Sports Center.
Oh, and then they said the score. You could have been watching NBA TV. Damn. Anyway.
Man, they ain't got that shit on here. They poor in St. Louis.
I don't know how big your money is. Maybe. What?
Hey, by the way, I'm just going to be real. St. Louis is a depressing ass city, bro.
We're going to talk about this on the show? We're going to diss the city of St. Louis? St. Louis, if you guys ever hear this, I didn't say anything.
Nah, this is Jay actually put me up to this shit. I'm going to be real.
Wow. I'm a Rams fan, first of all, so
who the team doesn't fit in with the city culture here. Like,
they really don't. That's why they need to move back to L.A., but anyway.
Right. This was a foolish move all around. Like, I'm asking folks from down here, like, you know, take a couple of minutes. Like, I'm asking folks from down here, like, do y'all really like the Rams like that? They're like, yeah, I mean, they're an NFL team here. But everybody knows that St. Louis is a baseball team. Like, they're literally motherfuckers that are just buying their jerseys because there is a football team here. They have no allegiance to the Rams whatsoever. They're not diehard. They're not rabid. They're just like, yeah, I mean, like, cool, I guess. I mean, them motherfuckers can be undefeated right now. They'll be like, here, I mean, hey, everybody got right. Someday. So I'd rather them come back home. I mean, I ain't going to be a fan of them, but, hey, I'd rather them come back home to L.A. So,
hey, I'm not going to get my hopes up.
They're
going to
come home.
That they are, there are rumors that they're going to file for relocation in 2016 in January. I'm not going to get
my hopes
up.
Yeah, so all three teams are.
But I will let you know this right now. If the Rams come back to L.A., those of you that know me, to say that I will go apeshit is the biggest understatement I think I could make in my life.
For
season
those who
ticket,
don't know, Dre,
it's happening.
Here's the thing. For those who don't know, Dre is
a true fan.
He's a true fan. He's very even keel, too. He's very even keel. So this motherfucker flips out. I will suggest, if you ever see him in the street and he flips out, I will suggest running the opposite way.
I would not, you can do that.
Yeah, I would not be in the vicinity of this man.
I'm a true fan. My team needs to come back home. They never should have left. And I don't want to speak ill on this man. That's a whole lesson. But anyway, they need to come back.
By the way, why is Pete Rose still really? You're a baseball guy. What the fuck is going with Pete Rose, man? Huh?
Okay. We're going to do – I'll say this really quickly, and then we're going to do our etcetera pieces. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Will be my etcetera portion. Forget it. This is going to be
Go
it.
Ahead.
Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm tired of the media having the power trips that they have, playing God, trying to make the Hall of Fame a morality Hall of Fame. No. It's about what you did on the baseball diamond, basketball court, football field, whatever, wherever it is that you played. If you were the greatest at it, you should be in the Hall of Fame. There are people in the Hall of Fame that are drug users, alcoholics, domestic violence, people that have committed domestic violence. There are people in the Hall of Fame in all sports that have done things that are very immoral. You want to go and kick him out because he bet on baseball. I understand that. You don't want to have people believing you throw games. Okay? He lied about it for 15 years. I understand that. Put the man in. And it's not up to Major League Baseball. It's up to the Hall of Fame. Do the right thing. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Put Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in. And stop acting like you're all high and mighty, like you don't do shit yourself.
Yeah, I fucking hate the baseball all the time.
Right away.
Let's see. The movie Concussion, starring Will Smith as a Nigerian brain surgeon who discovers CTE, and the NFL's adorable, lovable story of trying to cover it up is threatening to kill him. I suggest anybody who's a football fan to go see this movie. I haven't seen it yet, but not only are they saying that this is Will Smith's greatest performance, which is crazy considering Pursuit of Happiness, I Am Legend, Independence Day, and a bevy of other
Ali.
Ali. Six Degrees of Separation and all the others alike. Just looking at it, like, it'll put more in perspective of why the NFL is the way it is today. You know, as opposed to the cover-up, you know, and all this shit, because this is stuff I didn't even know about. And so when you get a chance to read the backstory on Concussion, go see the movie if you have the opportunity to. Learn a little bit more about, like, people say, oh, the game is soft now. Well, we don't want motherfuckers to have CTE and, you know, end up like Junior Seau or Mike Webster or, you know, or heaven forbid, and this is not a football example, but like Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit, for those who don't know, was a professional wrestler who killed his wife, his son, and then himself. And when they realized that he had the brain of an 80-year-old dementia patient because of CTE, you know, obviously it was too late. You know, so concussions happen, you know, this shit is real. So before you think twice before you start bashing the NFL for being too soft, think about what could we have done sooner. So
our episode's over. You were on a tangent, so you didn't hear it. But
oh shit, she didn't say anything. I didn't hear anything. I was waiting for
it. I know. I was like, does he not hear it? But I was like, oh wait, he's calling in as a guest. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll just say this. If anyone does still hear us, thanks for listening. Have a happy holidays. Listen to us on
Merry
iTunes.
Happy Christmas, Happy New Year. Right. And see you in 2016, maybe before then.
If no one hears us, then this is really pointless.
This caps off 2015 very well. Good night, everybody.
All right.